Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Best Fiends. Download Best Fiends free today on the App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R. Best Fiends. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, a family makes an exciting trip to Estes Park, Colorado, only to discover that the spirits of the haunted Stanley Hotel are ready and waiting for their arrival.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We'd love to hear them. Of course, you can also write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And, hey, if you enjoy the program and you'd like a whole bunch of bonus content, like literally almost 400 episodes, then, check out ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get access to all of the bonus materials. Commercial-free episodes, it's all there for you. It's only $5 a month. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Todd with you on today's episode. What's going on?
It is cold here. We were talking a little bit about the weather off, because we're at that age now. What are you talking about, the weather?
I know, yeah. Isn't that great?
It's like 11 degrees here, and it's just, so now I've got to think of, like, where's the best place to move? So if people have ideas, they can reach out to me and let me know. But I need something warmer. I like the change in holidays, like seasons and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I just don't like the extreme wind and cold of Northeast Wisconsin anymore.
There's a lot of places where that can get crazy too. But I don't blame you. I was saying where I'm at is I like it because you get all the seasons, and it really feels like, you were asking me off the air kind of more what it's like. It's like an extended fall in comparing it to Wisconsin. So like, late September, mid October-ish is kind of what our winter is like here. So you kind of get to that, and it just kind of, it's like fall for like 2 or 3 months.
And occasionally you get snow. So if Harper wants to go sledding, she can do that, right?
There's like a 24-hour window when it snows. And then, because it'll get warm really quick. And so, I like this atmosphere. It's not too warm. I mean, I could do warmer, but I still like having some of the seasons. That'll probably change as time goes by, though, too. I'm like, no cold at all. And then eventually just be living like by the equator somewhere.
I just don't know how, like, our parents, my parents were in their 80s and stuff like that, living in this crap. And it's like, how do you do that? I don't get it.
I don't know. And the darkness and the cold, that's yes, the thing I cannot deal with up there. And people, you don't realize this, but like depending on where you are in the country, north or south, it gets darker the further north you get, and you don't have to go that far really, but it's almost like a full hour difference where you are to me, as far as when it's dark. And that's another thing I love. I've always thought about Canada too, but I think they would be even worse for all of that, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, definitely colder in certain areas depending where you go. I mean, if you're on the Pacific Northeast or Northwest, it's maybe not that bad. But I would think it's still got to be darker up there for longer periods of time, and especially in the winter.
That's what I can't do anymore. Yeah, nope.
All I want to do is crawl in bed and stay there for, whenever it's dark out. Just crawl in bed.
That's all I want to do. There you go. There's travel tips with Todd and Tony today.
There's my new podcast. Follow it on Facebook or whatever.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. I used to like it when I did like the darkness, I think when I was a kid. But yeah, to me now I'm just like, nope. I get enough of it everywhere else. I don't need in many ways, shapes, and forms. So back to our conversation in just a second. First, I want to thank our supporter today, Best Fiends. One of the, resolutions, I don't really have any resolutions this year, but one thing I'm trying to be more vigilant on is making a little more time for myself this year. And I know it kind of sounds selfish, but it's really not, because most of my time is not on me. and I think I need to have a little bit more of that. And with that, you know, kind of comes, you know, self-care, kind of saying, okay, I'm gonna spend some time doing this with just because I like to, because it's fun. And Best Fiends is one of those things I love to play, a mobile puzzle game that I've been playing for years. Grab a moment for yourself. Yes. And if you enjoy it, you'll really get into this game. It's so much fun. It's always updated. There's always new levels. There's always new challenges. And it's just a good kind of mental palate cleanser. We all need those moments. When you find a moment to spare, check it out. Best Fiends. You'll absolutely love it. I've been playing this thing for years, and it really has been a nice little kind of escape through all the stresses of the day. Sometimes you just need that moment, and you need that distraction. That's like, okay, I'm exercising my brain while kind of getting some peace. Best Fiends is a mobile puzzle game that anyone can download and play, whether you have a few minutes or a few hours. Best Fiends is perfect puzzle game to lose yourself in because you're having so much fun. Features tons of characters, like I said, thousands of fun puzzles, updated all the time. The more you play, the more characters you collect. Gotta check it out for yourself. Updated, like I said, all the time. And that's a big thing because some games can get kind of boring. It's like, oh, you know, it's the same thing I've been playing forever. This thing, always fresh. You'll love it. Download Best Fiends free today on the App Store or Google Play. That's Friends without the R. Best Fiends. All right, let's go to our first story of the day. It says, they're staying at the Stanley Hotel in Estes Park, waiting near the stairs on a bench for my family. My daughter took two photos from her cell phone. The first photo shows my legs being partially obscured by a shadow-like blob. The second photo clearly shows my legs are no longer obscured, and the shadow is directly to my left in the shape of a human form. Can't figure out how to add the first picture. So I'm just including the picture with the shadow figure next to me. Of course, you get an eerie feeling when you're in that area. Lots of ghost sightings, very old. Later that day, we did the ghost tour at nighttime. In the dark at night is part of the tour. They take you into the basement, which is really a tunnel under the hotel. I started snapping photos with my cell phone, and one of them includes two orbs. I blew up the photo to look at the orbs more closely. The larger of the two, the one at the bottom, has what appears to be a possible man. And his profile, looking to the left, that one is a bit of a stretch. There's a second orb at the top of the photo. At the top of the orb, there's a more clear picture of an elderly man's face staring directly into the camera. When I show that to other people, really clearly gives them the creeps, makes your hair stand on end, and there's obviously some type of ghost. I can also send a copy of that photo, as it's very obvious there's something there. I don't know what orbs otherwise would be outside of the flash reflecting off dust that seems like the most obvious. But then again, why wouldn't you have orbs in every photo in that case? Because there's dust everywhere, unless it's just a random chance of how the dust reflects back and creates an orb. Going back in time about 17 years, staying at the Kalispell Grand Hotel in Kalispell, Montana, in the middle of the night in one of the two haunted rooms, which we annoyingly were staying, and a visitor came to my bedside. A young woman. She kept pulling down the covers just above my knees and was talking to me, trying to get my attention. She was shaking the bed as well. My wife was oblivious as I asked her and waked her up if she had felt the bed move, in which she did not. The next morning, I went down to the front desk and asked about paranormal activity in the hotel. The embarrassed hotel clerk indicated that they had reports. I asked what floor. She indicated third floor, which is where we were staying. I asked if there was any particular rooms. She named two rooms where the reports came from, and of course, yes, they were staying in one of those rooms. The second night, we experienced no paranormal activity. The ghost had apparently moved on, since I would not provide any attention as it was seeking. On that same trip, in a hotel in Las Vegas, Nevada, we woke up in the middle of the night to see a woman at the end of our bed floating with her feet at the height of the bed, I guess levitating. I woke up, looked at her clearly. She had long black hair and a hat and a long coat. Looked like something out of the early 1900s. My immediate thought was somebody broke into the room. I jumped over the cross side of the bed to turn on the light, by which point the image was gone. She was clearly watching us. It was eerie, to say the least. I've always had vivid dreams, but this definitely was not a dream. Nothing like that has ever occurred to me before or since. And I'd just like to say, there were a total of about three periods in that entire story. So I had to like guess the period as you go through as you're trying to read. But it was very interesting. So thank you for sharing that. Thoughts?
Well, and we mentioned this off the air going into this. We've both been to Estes Park. We've both been to the Stanley.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually went during a ghost hunting kind of like weekend thing. And the team from Ghost Hunters was there and you got to see them talk and you got to speak with a demonologist about exorcisms and all that kind of stuff. And yep. Then you got to investigate. So it was really a cool little weekend.
Yeah.
I have to say that I really didn't get any real activity while I was investigating, but they had us in groups in like of 10.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of when you investigate in groups like that, a lot is determined by who you're investigating with, their energy, all that kind of stuff. So yeah. I think I missed out a little bit, but what a great hotel. I have no doubt that there's got to be energy there just because of the location and the history of that place. And, you know, we're talking about weather. I could live in Estes Park and I would deal with the cold and deal with being shut in because it's just so beautiful there.
You know, that you got a point about something like that. I've always wanted to do a winter on Mackinac Island.
Ooh,
I think that would be interesting. And I mean, I don't know, as I say this aloud, I'm like rethinking it because if for a while like this could be kind of fun. This could be neat, or it could be like the setting for like either a horror movie or a bad romantic comedy or a combination of the two where everyone ends up dead. You know,
but you end up in a relationship. It'll be great.
Exactly. Yeah. The relationship happens and then everyone dies. It's yeah. Like they find everybody frozen to death, but nobody really knows why or how this all happened because the heat's still on.
Did you have anything go on while you were there?
On Mackinac?
No, at Estes Park.
What did I have? I slept wonderfully there when I was there, which is a thing I have anytime I'm like at a known haunted hotel and of a certain age. I get like the best sleep ever. I don't know why. I do not. I mean, I normally wake up a couple times a night because I'm 84, but I'm a fairly light sleeper and, you know, my mind's always going and I can get anxious and all that shit. So, but for whatever reason, haunted hotels, they're the best.
I think that's your next plan. You got to buy a haunted hotel, run the thing, do your podcast from there. You'll sleep like a baby and make some money on the thing.
Hey, that's a great idea.
I could totally see you doing that.
What could possibly go wrong? but no, I didn't really have anything happen per se, but I did do something that was really kind of cool. I was not doing any tours or anything there. In fact, this was the night before my first wedding. So it's like maybe this omen thing with ghosts, you know, and marriage is not a good thing. I was just staying there with some friends and everybody's flights were running late. So I'm just like sitting there wandering around, going to the bar, and then I just start walking around the property. And there's the carriage house next door.
Yeah.
And it's a big building, too. And I'm like, oh, okay. I want to go in here. And I'm just curious, like, is the door going to be open? It was open. And I walk in there and you can tell, like, all the tables were like kind of moved into weird places because I think they were getting ready for setting something up. But in the dark, it was kind of lightning, too. That's what made it so cool. All the lights are out. I'm just walking through there. I wish there was like good camera phones at that point in time. And it was just like there's a fan or something going because the curtains are kind of moving and there's kind of lightning-y, and you're going into this kind of atrium-ish building, and it was totally like the Haunted Mansion. And I'm like, this is really neat. And then I just walked in there and walked out. I didn't get freaked out. I just was kind of just trying to enjoy the moment. And then I, you know, went back down and my friend showed up. But that's all I had. But it was neat. It was just a neat setting.
If you get a chance to go there, I have to say you really should check it out because it is a very cool historic place.
Yeah.
The area is really beautiful. You can mm-hmm. check out the national park there and all that kind of stuff. It's just really a cool place.
And then two or three years, I don't know, it wasn't that long later, I read that the hotel that I actually had that first wedding at burned to the ground.
Are you serious?
It's gone. Yeah. Yeah. The one that I had it at, gone. I mean, it did have the word lodge in its name. So there was a lot of timber going on with this building. But yeah, I mean, it was just kind of like weird, you know, like, oh, like, I guess, I mean, I don't wish that on anyone's business or livelihood, but it was just kind of a weird, like, wow, that's okay. Good.
The universe trying to talk to you in some way, shape, or form, you think? I kind of wonder about that.
I know. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to our next story. It says, my father built the house we live in, so the paranormal weren't really in the question. Growing up, my father and I both watched paranormal shows because we found it interesting. He always collected antiques, such as old furniture, old farm equipment. It'll come back later. Around 2 years ago was my senior year of high school. I was watching some movies with a girl I was dating. We heard a baby crying next to us. We stopped the movie and listened. We heard footsteps upstairs, and I knew very well we were home alone. I went to investigate, but found nobody. Figuring she was joking with me, I returned her to downstairs. She then pointed to the bathroom upstairs. For context, standing at the bottom of the steps, you can see directly into the upstairs bathroom, as well as my bedroom door, on the right at the top of the steps. I looked where she pointed it in the darkness, saw the silhouette of a man. He didn't move. When I shouted, just stood and stared. He eventually vanished. Fast forward to last year, I was in bed one morning. I had graduated a few months earlier and was working night shift in a welding shop. So I got home very early in the morning. I awoke to the sound of boots stomping up the steps. I thought it was my father, so I brushed it off until I remembered he'd left for work 2 hours earlier. The steps kept coming, but when I threw open my door ready to punch the said person, nobody was there. Nobody at all. A couple nights later, I was coming home, a Saturday night late from hanging out with the girl I was dating. I walked to my room and my ceiling light was on. I turned it off and turned on my TV to watch something before I went to bed. I walked to the kitchen to get something to drink, but when I returned to my room, my light was back on. I walked back downstairs and could hear footsteps from my closet to where my ceiling fan is, then back. I grabbed a knife and returned to my room only to find my closet door was being held shut. Thinking someone broke in, I called the police and they searched the house to find nothing. Talking to the cops outside, they admitted to hearing heavy breathing in the upstairs bathroom in my brother's old room, as he said that the lamp in my brother's room suddenly turned on. I didn't stay there that night. That was the first time my room had spirits in it. We saged the house, and for a long time, things are calm. But recently, I've been hearing footsteps at night and seeing figures out of the corner of my eye. I have more stories that I'll send in at a later date. Lots in that one. Thoughts?
Lots in that one. You know, you started off talking about the fact that it wasn't an older home. Father built it. I think sometimes we just assume that a place that has energy or hauntings has to be old and decrepit and all that kind of stuff. And I think that we've discussed on the show about people haunting themselves or their energy creating things going on. Something was certainly going on in this house. Mm-hmm. And I'd love to know more. Like, was it a place that other houses had been built before? Was it by itself out on farmland? All those are questions that if you threw it into an investigation, you'd want answers on to try and determine what's going on there. But sounds like a great story. I love the fact that the police actually admitted that they heard breathing and the light turned on. I think that's great.
Here's an interesting one. Something I wonder about being haunted in homes sometimes that no one would ever really know or be able to pinpoint at all. What about the timber, the lumber that's used to construct buildings and homes?
Sure.
I mean, depending on where it's from, what it's connected to, you know, could it have been in an area that had once been a graveyard and nobody, you know, from far, far ago, and, you know, these trees grew up on top of those graves. Basically, the body's feeding the trees. Things like that.
Or somebody who worked at the mill was in an accident and killed, and that energy trans. I mean, yeah. When people talk about their house being haunted or a location being haunted, I wish we could just focus in on one location and dig as hard as we can to find out all the details on it. Because I think the primary source of that energy could go way, way back. We would just have no idea where it could possibly be found.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good point.
And I wonder about that with things like this, too, where it's where it is like a newer piece of construction and there really isn't much history to the land. It's like, well, what did something inadvertently get here? How did something inadvertently get here? You know, or maybe something is there for some reason from someone else. You know, I don't know. There's a lot of things that can be done.
And they did say something about antiques, right? So, yeah. I mean, that could play into it as well.
Yep. I just know that at some point, someone's going to take down some of the stuff that I've constructed in former homes, and they're going to think the house is cursed. So
I don't know if I should smile at that or say to you that you should be ashamed of yourself, but I think it's a little bit of both, to be honest with you.
We're going to take this shiplap down over here. Like, oh my God, what is this writing on the wall?
One night you're going to watch a series of unsolved mysteries in the year 2032, and it's going to be a home that you lived in.
Yes, it'll be like, did someone perform rituals, or was it just an asshole podcaster who decided to have fun with magic markers one day?
And by that time, they'll be able to bring Robert Stack back from the dead. He'll be hosting the show. Oh, so
I'm working on bringing Robert Stack from the dead back from the dead right now, okay?
Great.
It is on my to-do list. I was actually just thinking of that right before we went on the air. I'm like, I got to start working on that. It's called a teaser in radio. So I'm going to say, I'm working on bringing Robert Stack back from the dead. Stay tuned. Weather next. Let's go to a caller at 855-853-4802. Okay, it's loaded.
What's up, guys? My name's Cameron. I'm from upstate New York. I just became an EPP, so I figured I'd share my story. It's not really my story, but it's my brother's story. We lived in this house. When we moved into this, it was a giant house compared to the ones we've lived in before. And my mom, like, surprised me and my sister with it. So my brother helped her move everything in. And then me and my sister pulled up, and we were like, oh, wow. We walked in. It was our new house. But even going up the long driveway, my mom told us it was one of her friend's house, and we were just meeting her there before she left for the night. I don't know. So we pull up, and it was creepy just pulling up this driveway. There was like a pond to the left with a little light, and it was just eerie. The windows in the house were eerie. And the first one I looked at when we went up ended up being my bedroom window. But anyway, so me and my friends like to play hide and seek all the time when we were younger. So I finally have this big house. And so we were like, let's play hide and seek. And it was mad dark. We turned all the lights off. So we're playing hide and seek. I'm it. And this was actually my friend. My friend was on the counter, and it was a kitty cornered. When you got on the counter, you're kitty cornered. And he said he heard me in the kitchen coming towards him, and it's pitch black. So he said he heard me coming towards him, heard me like graze the counter, sort of like I was trying to reach for someone in the dark without being able to see. And he was and then he said I walked past him, and he was excited I didn't find him. But then he heard my voice in the living room go, gotcha. So I was nowhere near him when he was feeling that go on. So he jumped off the counter and booked it to the living room. He started telling me, I'm like, bullshit. I did not believe anything he said. And so that was just one instance. Now, my brother, he passed away a few years ago. more like 10 years ago. I don't know. But I don't like to think about it or time it. It's not really what I like to do. But so he was in the house, didn't tell me this personally, but told his dad, who told me after he passed. So my brother's passed. I'm talking to his dad, and his dad told me, that house, your brother, I don't know if you noticed, but he stopped staying there. And I was like, yeah, I noticed. What do you mean? He would come for the day and then leave at night. And I was like, yeah, I noticed, of course. And then he was like, well, I just want to let you know, one day your brother woke up, went downstairs to get a drink, and he was halfway down the stairs and saw like illumination going on. He thought a TV was on or something. Sorry, that's my daughter slamming stuff. But he said he looked down the stairs and he was freaked out. So he looked over the banister into the dining room, and he saw a woman and a man floating around in old-timey outfits. He couldn't really explain it. He said he went upstairs, didn't fall back asleep, and told his dad the next day and never slept over again. So I don't know. That's pretty creepy. And he did pass, so I'm wondering if maybe there was a connection there. Maybe he's seeing this. I don't know. I really don't know nothing about it. But I don't know if I'll get cut off or not, but if I got time for one more story. So I was in that same house, and I go in the basement because me and my friends, again, we're just like to explore. So we're in the basement, very creepy basement, old work sink where the water's still kind of dripping, gloves that were definitely there from years ago, decades ago. And so we're going through, we go into the back of the basement, and it's all deteriorated, and there's a giant hole in the wall of these, it's a stone wall, and it looks like somebody had sledgehammered out just this one section of the wall. So we would dare each other to peek our phone light in there and look, and we did, and we would get this feeling over us, and we would just sprint back up the stairs. So one day we got in trouble with like our exploring, and so the cops knock on my door asking for me, but I was hiding because my friend gave me the heads up that they were going to all of our friends' houses. So I, for some reason, I went down in that basement and hid inside of the hole. And to this day, I get goosebumps thinking about why I decided to do that. I don't even remember the duration or being in there. I just remember climbing in the hole and then climbing back out. Like that was, and it was the scariest part of my house. So I don't know why I went in there, chose that place. Very freaky. And my grandma also lived with us, and she's very religious. And she had stained glass windows, coincidentally, in her bedroom that she picked out, or we picked out for her. And there was always, and I mean always, flies just covering her stained glass window. And even my mom, who's not into spirits, doesn't really believe, she doesn't not believe in it, but she's not high up on it. But she was even like, that is very strange. And as soon as we moved out, I went back to get stuff from my room. No flies. There was no flies on that window whatsoever. And I guess it used to be like an old serving quarter, like my mom's bedroom. You'd walk up these stairs, and there was like a little half door you open at the top of the stairs. And then you look to the right, and that was her bedroom, which had an attic connected to her closet. So that was very creepy, too. Just very creepy, creepy feelings about that house. And I went up there with my daughter, who wasn't even close to being thought of when I lived there. I brought her up there telling her the story, and we're sitting in the driveway, and I'm just staring at my old bedroom window, basically just trying to manifest something. But I swear I seen a curtain move. But again, could have been my eyes or my brain just telling me that, because now I know and feel that it is haunted. But I don't know, just some short stories. I got a couple more I could share. This was kind of just off the top of my head. I should write it down next time. But yeah, thanks for having me. Hopefully this gets aired. If not, still, I hope you guys hear it and maybe get a little scare out of it. Thank you.
Thanks for that freaky ass story. I don't know about you, but I had a little pee in my pants on that one. Here's your long distance dedication. Hey, Tony, play the fucking record. God damn it. What are you waiting for? Here we go again. Here's your long distance dedication. Well, this is fucked. Fucking real ghost stories online. What a bunch of fuck jacks. Dime.
There you go. Casey's back.
Oh, that was great. First of all, it creeped me out. I'm like, what the hell's that voice? Then I realized it was Casey.
This is Casey. He wanted to give his thoughts on the story.
This guy, what I like about him is he's skeptical about everything. Mm-hmm. He's sitting out in the car. He's trying to manifest something happening. He thinks he sees the curtain move, and then he's like, it's nothing. It's just my eyes, blah, blah, blah. It sounds so much like me, but obviously he had so many experiences in that house, whether they are truthful experiences or if they're created in his own mind or whatever it is. I don't know, but I can imagine growing up in a place like that and just feeling that excitement for what's going to happen next. I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, and just the list went on and on at a place like that, but gosh, yeah. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. We do greatly appreciate it. Anything else you want Casey to say while we got him?
Did he say dime at the end?
He did.
I haven't heard that terminology in years and years and years. So that was pretty good.
I know. I combined fuck jacks and dime. Two terms that I remember greatly from back in the day. So there you go. All right. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get access to all of the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and more, all commercial free. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Todd and Tony, thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.